We'll turn to the Word of God in Philippians chapter 1. And in verse 11, Paul has this prayer for the believers at Philippi, that they might be filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. The church in Philippi was the first to be planted in Europe. Paul had preached extensively in Asia Minor. In response to the Macedonian call then, he came to Philippi. The preaching of the gospel in this chief city of Macedonia, it was marked by notable conversions. We think of Lydia, the seller of purple, the one whose heart the Lord opened. We read also in Acts chapter 16 of the deliverance of the young woman possessed by an evil spirit. Then, of course, there is the striking conversion of the keeper of the jail. The triumph of the gospel, the fruit that remained in Philippi, it etched these believers into Paul's heart and mind. Even when in prison, suffering for the Lord's sake, the church at Philippi was not forgotten. Paul thanked God for every remembrance of these believers. He wrote this epistle to establish and to encourage them. And our text is part of Paul's prayer for them. He has this longing for them, that they will be filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. We are truly thankful for the Lord's mercy to us. The Lord has not left Himself without witness, in that He has done good. He has given us rain from heaven, fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. Yes, the fields of the earth have yielded much fruit. And it's not just nature that is to be fruitful. The Christian life is to be most productive, fertile, and useful. The Christian is to bring forth the fruit that is proper and fitting to his high calling in Christ. So may Paul's prayer be answered abundantly in all of our lives. As we come to this text, there are four things that we want to note from it. First of all, the objects of fruitfulness. The fruits of righteousness. That's what our text is referring to. The fruits of righteousness cannot be produced by an unregenerate heart. The Lord asks these questions in Matthew 7 and verse 16. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Certainly not. Such has never happened, and it will never happen. Like begets like. In the creation account in Genesis 1, each kind reproduced after its own. And God never expects man to produce the fruits of regeneration if he has never experienced the power, the saving grace of God. The fruits of righteousness, they grow in the heart that has been made right with God. There are two kinds of righteousness mentioned in God's Word. There is a self-righteousness, a homespun righteousness that is woven by works, that is by self-effort. The other kind of righteousness is that which is of God, which is imputed. It is reckoned to, it is put in the account of all who come to the Savior, crying for mercy and trusting in His finished work. We read of this in Romans chapter 3 and verse 20. Romans chapter 3 and verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, or by the works of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in His sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. We all fall short of God's commandments. Before the law, every mouth is stopped and the whole world is guilty. But now, verse 21, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. Here is the righteousness of God. And this imputed righteousness, it is received through the substitutionary work of Christ. There is a representation of it in the coats of skins provided for Adam and Eve, way back in Genesis chapter 3 and the verse 21. Unto Adam also, and to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them. Before that provision was made for them, they had the fig leaves of self-righteousness, Genesis 3 and verse 7. They knew that they were naked. And Adam and Eve, they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Oh, how they feverishly worked, sewing those leaves, the one to the other, in an attempt to cover over their sin. It was an effort in self-righteousness. But those aprons of self-righteousness were rejected. They fell short, men and women, of what God required. And God, in His mercy and love, provided them a true covering. Coats of skins. And to obtain them, there had to be bloodshed. There had to be sacrifices made. And what a wonderful foreshadowing of Christ's sacrifice, of the shedding of His blood for many, for the remission of sins. Oh, there is a true righteousness, the righteousness of Christ, the righteousness of His gospel. And in Philippians 3 and verse 9, Paul, in giving his testimony, he relates his own experience, how he longed to be found in Christ, not having his own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And oh, in this congregation this morning, that there would be men and women and young people who would have the same longing as Paul, long to be in Christ and having a true righteousness. The Lord is our Jehovah said, can you? The Lord, our righteousness. In Isaiah 61 and verse 10, the verse speaks of being clothed with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. The Lord is made unto his people righteousness. Oh, make sure that he is your righteousness, that you have an imputed righteousness and not one of your own. So we think of the objects of fruitfulness, but let us come secondly to the origin of fruitfulness. When the root of the matter of spiritual life is in us, it follows there will be fruit. A machine can do work. Only life can bear fruit. Proverbs 12 and verse 12, it reads, the root of the righteous, the root of the righteous beareth, yieldeth fruit. A branch in Christ, John 15 and verse 2 indicates a branch in Christ, it bears fruit. In the parable of the sower, remember the good ground? It brought forth fruit, some 100, some 60, and some 30-fold. The fruits of righteousness, it has its origin in humility. A valley, low ground, is often very fruitful. In Psalm 65 and verse 13, the psalmist speaks of the valleys, the low ground, as being covered over with corn. If we think of Paul, he looked on himself as the least of the saints. Yet he was the chief of the apostles. In this chief of the apostles, in his heart, there was this spirit of humility, of lowliness. Mary, she was very conscious of her low estate. She said, the Lord hath regarded my low estate. But she bore the humanity of the true vine who brought the fruit of salvation to the world. God gives grace to the humble. Someone asked Hudson Taylor about the secret of his life. They said to him, you must often be conscious of the wonderful way that God has prospered you in the China Inland Mission. I doubt if any man, said the inquirer, has had a greater honor. And Hudson Taylor replied, oh, I do not look at it in that light. I sometimes think that God must have been looking for someone small enough and weak enough for him to use, so that all the glory might be his. And he found out me. The great Hudson Taylor was a man with a humble spirit. And oh, the fruitfulness of his life and service. The choice fruit of the Spirit grows on the branches of the humble believer who walks with God. The fruits of righteousness, they have their origins in adversity. The trials, the burdens of life, they have this hidden blessing. They promote fruitfulness. We remember how it was with Paul. He was often in imprisonment. He was often in shipwrecks. He was stoned and beaten with many stripes and left as dead. Oh, the afflictions that came his way. But notice here in Philippians 1, verses 12 and 13, about what he has to say. I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out, rather, unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. The trials, the tribulations that came to the life of this great apostle, they fell out to the furtherance of the gospel. They increased his fruitfulness. Strangely, David said in Psalm 119 and verse 71, it is good for me that I have been afflicted. Why did he say that? The trials, the burdens of life, we do not find them enjoyable. We view them, we do not view them as being beneficial. Oh, you and I would rather that they did not come our way. But from Hebrews 12 and verse 11, we discover this. No chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Chastening, trials and afflictions of life, they fall out to our increasing fruitfulness. The tomato plant in the springtime, the wise grower will know that it's not for the best to allow still more and more flowers and stems to appear. That will, it will result in impaired fruit, fruit of inferior size and quality. The keen gardener will know that the removing of the shoots and some of the branches by the sharp pruning knife, it's good for the tree. It's part of the process of fruitfulness. And when the Lord, the heavenly husbandman, takes away some of the blossoms of our comfort, it only enables us to bring forth more and greater fruit. What trials Joseph passed through. The iron of affliction entered his heart. Trials and disappointments, he knew them all. But how is Joseph pictured in Genesis chapter 49 and verse 22? Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches run over the wall. Yes, our fruitfulness has its origins in humility, in adversity. It has its origins in spirituality. For the verse tells us, our text tells us, that we're to be filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ. To produce fruit, we must live close to the Lord. Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 7. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. Here is one who trusts the Lord, whose heart communes with him, and draws from Him. All his hope is in the Lord. Now look at verse 8. He is like a tree planted by the waters that spreadeth out her roots by the river and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Oh, this blessed man that lives close by the Lord, his life will be fruit-bearing. It is not Paul's planting, nor the watering of Apollos, but the hand of God that gives the increase. And may we live close to the Lord. May we live in daily communion and fellowship with the Lord. Here's the origin of our fruitfulness. In Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 1, Israel is depicted as a fruitful vine set planted on a hill near the sun, facing the rays of the sun. That vine will be most productive. And may our lives be on the high ground. May we ever yearn after higher ground, closeness to the Lord, nearer to heaven, nearer, still nearer to Him. You will see in our text that the word fruit, it's in the plural, pointing to abundant fruitfulness. God had to say in Hosea chapter 10 and verse 1, Israel is as an empty vine. Oh, how disappointing. The vine of the Lord's planting. And it's empty. No fruit. Oh, may there be an increasing fruitfulness about our lives. The verse 9 of Philippians 1, Paul prays that the love of these saints may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. And so may our fruitfulness abound more and more. From John chapter 15 and verse 2, we see how our lives are to bear fruit. Not only that, more fruit. And when we come to verse 5, much fruit. Oh, may we be fruitful in every good work, be as those grapes of Eshcol that bore clusters of fruit. But thirdly, let us come to the outworking of fruitfulness. The Christian will bring forth suitable, appropriate fruit. Isn't it the case that every tree brings forth fruit according to its nature? And the trees of the Lord's planting, they will bring forth proper fruit. This fruit will be seen, the fruits of righteousness will be seen in our speech. In Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 23, the scriptures tell us a word spoken in due season, how good it is. And may you and I have the speech that is seasoned with salt. A good man, out of the good treasure of the heart, bringeth forth good things. Proverbs has much to say about our speech. And in Proverbs 10, verse 11, we're told the mouth of a righteous man is a well of life. In verse 21, the lips of the righteous feed many. Oh, may we have the tongue of the learned, that we may know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. This fruit of righteousness will be seen in our song. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15 tells us that we are to offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto his name. Yes, we are to praise God, from whom all blessings flow. And may we daily practice our praise for our heavenly calling. May we have that infectious joy too about our lives that will draw others to the Savior. And then there will be the fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians 5 verses 22 and 3, the fruit of the Spirit is listed. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. The fruit of the Spirit has been described as the natural expression of a man in Christ. It has been referred to as the essence of Christian character. Oh, here is the fruit that comes from the new birth. This fruit will be in us. May it always be increasing, bringing more and more Christ-likeness to our daily lives. There will be the fruit of soul winning. Paul compares winning people to Christ as bearing fruit in Romans 1 and verse 13, where he says, "Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, what was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles." Oh, this is the great purpose of the Christian's life, that we go and bring forth fruit. Let it sow beside all waters. Sow the gospel seed, hear a word in season, there a loving deed. Sinners to the Savior, be it ours to lead. He that winneth souls is wise. May we have that abiding fruit, fruit that remains to everlasting life. But finally, let us come to the outcome of fruitfulness, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. It's to the praise of the gardener, his skill and hard work, when the trees are laden and fruitful. And when the trees of the Lord's planting flourish and bring forth the fruits of righteousness, it's to the praise of his glory. Hosea chapter 10 and verse 1 says that Israel is an empty vine. He bringeth forth fruit unto himself. No fruit to the glory and praise of God. We might as well bring forth no fruit as to bring it forth to our own praise. Men ought always to pray, but when a man prays to demonstrate his eloquence, he brings forth fruit to himself. Works of necessity and compassion are good, but when carried out to feed our pride, to heap praise on ourselves, then we have missed the mark. Oh, let us see to it. Let us make sure that God in all things is glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Be filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and the praise of God. May the Lord work this great text out in every one of our experiences, and may our lives redound to the Lord's honor and to the exaltation of His great name. The hymn number 700.